Today is the 25th, Sunday after Pentecost, and you'll find it in your missals for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Epistle appointed to be read for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do, in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house, coming, said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat, gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. These words are taken from the epistle, which is read during the second Mass of All Souls Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Gaspar Mermio was born in Switzerland in the year 1824, and he died in Rome in 1892. Gaspar eventually was ordained a priest and then eventually consecrated a bishop of Lausanne, and later went on to be created a cardinal by Pope Leo XIII. And during his life, he told about a true story, which I wanted to tell you this morning, which he has left us about an encounter that he had on a sick call. The cardinal said that many, many years before he was a bishop, he said actually he was a young priest. On one particular night, he heard a knock on his door. And when he opened the door, the messenger said to him that a priest was needed. He said that a lady was in danger of death, and that she had requested to see the priest tomorrow evening. Father Mermio found out that the lady's house was quite a ways away, and in a district that he was not familiar with, and so he made sure to get very, as he said, specific directions to the house from this messenger. And having done so, he assured the man that he would respond to her request and see her on the following evening. And so the following evening, Father Mermio set out for his sickle. And following the directions, he came to this beautiful house with a magnificent view overlooking a lake. He went through the gate, and as he neared the house, he noticed that there was a party going on inside. The house was lit up, the windows were wide open, and he said he could easily hear voices and loud laughter coming from within. And of course, he was puzzled by this, for he had expected to see someone who was dying within the home. So when he knocked on the door, a servant greeted him, and the priest explained that he was asked by a young man to see a certain lady who was sick. And the servant told him he must have the wrong address. But the priest explained that he carefully followed the instructions given by the young man, and that there was no mistake. This was the house. And so with these words, the servant disappeared, leaving the priest waiting there on the porch. Shortly after, the owner of the estate himself appeared at the door. And he apologized to the priest and informed him that there was no one sick in the home. So he went on to say, although we do not belong to your faith, and just now we are entertaining some friends from the theater, we would appreciate it if you would join us for dinner. He said his wife would be very interested to hear about his story, since the priest thought it might be a good opportunity to speak about the true faith among non-Catholics. He accepted the kind offer. And when he entered the spacious dining room, the wife had the priest seated beside her at the head of the table. After a word of an introduction, she said, I have never had the pleasure of meeting you before, Father, but I have heard of you and your work. And the lady went on to say, we are delighted to have you with us, but what an extraordinary experience. She said, what was your visitor like? And Father Mermio explained the whole situation and carefully described the appearance of the young man, which prompted the wife to say, you Catholic priests must have strange experiences. Do you have to go to everyone who calls you, even if you don't happen to know them? And the priest told her that it was customary to go to anyone who asks for them. And he explained that since the priest is another Christ, and since Christ came to die for souls, therefore, the priest will go to anyone who calls upon him. And they all, he said, listened with great interest. And they actually asked if he would tell them of his own adventures. And so he told them some incidents from his work among souls. And won over by his sincerity and personable manner, They listened, he said, with real interest and curiosity. So Father Mermio then surprised them by turning the conversation over into speaking about confession. He explained to them how wonderful the sacrament of confession is, not by giving them a lofty explanation or theological terms and concepts, but by explaining how much good confession does for a person. Simple truths and a couple stories. And his explanations caused them all to begin thinking, to realize that what they used to think about priests was not really the case. His stories were genuine and true, and they were so human and sincere that they went straight to their hearts. Father Mermio, these are his exact words, told them that in confession, people come saddened. People come burdened by sin and suffering. He said, but they will go away rejoicing and renewed with strength and goodwill. And a few other remarks which he made to them. The conversation which Father Mermio had that night with these people does go into greater detail. That would be for a sermon perhaps on the sacrament of penance. But soon after that, the dinner did come to an end, and they separated into small groups, where some of them continued asking Father Mermio questions. And finally, he was preparing to leave. A young actress approached him and said, Father, could you possibly see me tomorrow? I have something very important to say, and I think that I can explain the mystery which so happily brought you to us tonight. She said, you have done incalculable good to some of us. And so Father Mermio readily gave her the address to the church and set an hour for the visit. And the next day at the given hour, Mademoiselle Blanche du Vaudois, as her name is, the young actress of the previous evening, was announced. Father, I am a Catholic, she explained, one of your wandering sheep. My brother and I were orphans when we were very young. After my entrance into society, the world's pleasures and vanities proved too much for me. I was gifted with what people called a divine voice. And so I decided to try my fortune on the stage, even though my brother did everything he could to discourage me, for he knew how dangerous such a career would be for my soul. But still, I went ahead and did it anyway. And I have been very successful on the stage. I have been the star of our company for many years now. Unfortunately, I abandoned my religion almost completely, clinging only to the devotion of my rosary. My brother wrote me a letter while he lay on his deathbed. And in it, he told me never to abandon saying the rosary, but to continue to remain faithful to it. But recently, my fame has been going downhill. Another young actress has actually taken my place. It has become so bad that I have been almost booed off the stage more than once. She said, it became so wearing on my nerves, and it built up, that last night I had made up my mind to end it all. Her despair reached such a point that she actually gave in to the horrendous temptation to commit suicide. She explained that everything was planned for her to end her life. Mademoiselle Blanche then said, my death seemed inevitably sealed, and I never dreamed that I would or could be dissuaded from doing what I had resolved upon to do. She said, I felt no fear. I was in the evil hands of a power greater than my own. She had allowed despair and depression to overcome her, to control her, because she had forsaken the love of God. And the actress then declared to the priest, certainly I was the sick lady who you were called to see, sick unto death. For I have no doubt that the young man who came to your door the other night was the soul of my dear dead brother. And I say that, Father, because your description of him at the dinner table was so vivid. It was so clear that there can be no doubt that was my brother. You see, he promised me in the last letter he wrote to me from his deathbed that he would ever pray for me in eternity. Father, she continued, he, my brother, and you saved me. And then she said, I am ready to confess if you consider me worthy of your care. And Father Mermio reconciled her to God. And a few days later, Mademoiselle Blanche ended her contract with the theater and began to lead a very good, pious, Catholic life. Less than a year later, Father Mermio received a letter from Sister Dominic of the Holy Rosary, formerly known as Blanche du Vaudois, and she had entered a Dominican convent. And she assured Father in the letter that she had finally found perfect peace here on earth, and that she had dedicated her divine voice to sing in the praises of God for all eternity. And the Dominican sister concluded her letter saying, use my story as you wish, good Father. It may help to save other souls like mine from irreparable ruin. Being the month of November, I'd like to speak this morning on the poor souls. Not just about their sufferings and their powers, but also how their relationship is towards us. In the book of Maccabees, chapter 12, we read the words, it is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. Of course, the dead applies to those in purgatory. And this quote from Scripture tells us that it is very praiseworthy to pray for the souls detained there. The power of the poor souls for we who are here on this earth is very powerful. Why? Because they can pray for us. The poor souls in purgatory can actually intercede for us on our behalf. The souls in purgatory will even motivate us in a certain sense to pray for them. And that is readily seen in the story of the young actress who was saved from suicide, was remarkably converted to the faith. She was remarkably converted to the practice of virtue. She went so far as to seriously consider her vocation in life. How best can I serve God? And the love which she had for Almighty God was so great that our Lord Jesus Christ called her to serve him ever more closely as a Dominican. And why? All because her brother prayed for her, as he promised in his letter he would do for all eternity. The grace of her conversion was undoubtedly due also to her constant devotion to the Rosary of our Heavenly Mother. There's no doubt about that, that Our Lady was granting her a reward. But it does show us the power of the poor souls for us. We who are here on earth praying for them during this month of November to consider this truth, that the poor souls in purgatory can help us. And as we are moved in our consideration of this great concept of the power of the poor souls, may we also at the same time pray on our behalf for them. May we also offer up our daily sacrifices, all the sacrifices of the day, as numerous as they are, for those poor souls, in order that we may free them from their prison of suffering, and obtain their powerful help and protection. Pray the rosary as you do daily, but offer it up at times during this month of November for the poor souls. Add them to your list of intentions. Also, it is a pious opinion that Our Lady, on each one of her feast days, descends into purgatory to temporarily relieve the poor souls from their sufferings. Have masses offered up on behalf of the poor souls. There is nothing more powerful to release them than the Mass. If we truly understood how much the Mass alleviates the sufferings of those in purgatory, we would often have Masses offered for their souls. Let us then, my dear friends, keep before us during this month of the poor souls the words of the Maccabees. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.